So, you know, the thing about what we do on a podcast, Mike, is, brother, there's a lot of buttons and levers to push. One day I'm going to push a button and I'm just going to completely fall through the floor.
You'll be in a capsule, though. It'll be nice and comfortable and you'll just be in a capsule.
Nobody else, like, where did King go? I'm just like, you know what? I enjoy that part, but I got this tool that I gotta use, brother. This Stream Deck is really gonna make Elgato Stream Deck. I'm not sponsoring them, but this is gonna make my life so much easier. The problem is I bought it and I don't know how to use it.
You might want to take it out of the box. Okay.
Well, I've taken it out the box. Brother, the night I got it, I took it out the box. I set it up and it was like meow, meow, meow. You know how it is when you get something and you're trying to you want to get it working that very night. I stayed up till like 2 a.m. and the way it interfaces with the stream. It doesn't interface with the camera. So I couldn't find the Facebook stream to make it switch between cameras. I was lost in the sauce. But our good man Wally, he knows how to do it. So I'm going to take my whole setup over to his house because he's got the same thing.
Of course he does.
Yeah, any sound equipment, any lighting, audio, video, I run it all through him.
Definitely. He knows so much with technology. And yes, sir.
Well, you didn't say and you didn't say no doubt. We were talking before. Ladies and gentlemen, this is CL King coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here in Jacksonville.
As long as I can get him out before.
With my man, Mike Black. And we were talking about, you know, our idiosyncrasies, words that we say over and over that we shouldn't say that have absolutely no meaning. And one of the things that, you know, I try to work on, and it is difficult. It's difficult to do. I try to work on not saying as a passing because I'm stalling for time or my brain ain't keeping up with these soup coolers, you know? And so me and Mike were just before we came on, we were like, okay, so what are some things that each of us do? And Mike says, he says no doubt all the time. So if you maybe what we'll do is, Mike, if you say no doubt, and or I say we'll Cash App each other money. How about that? $1 for every offense. No, I can't say you can't say no doubt, right?
Correct. Correct.
But the issue is you probably don't even have Cash App. So
no doubt.
You'll probably have to write me a check, you so old school, like Greg. Greg's like, what is that Cash App thing?
Send me the link.
Dr. Dunlap says, Cash App it to me and Greg. Nice. So we'll make a little pot, right? Yeah, you know, it is speakers have tendencies. They have idiosyncrasies. And it grates on me now that I've thought about it over the years. When I go back and listen to myself, like if I'm getting introduced and I'm trying to take my time and be all suave in my opening remarks, and I'm like, it's just so good to be. And man, it's not a word. Stop saying that. That is detracting from what you're supposed to be saying. So you're on guard tonight, and Dr. Dunlap, I know Dr. Dunlap's very busy, but if you can't stay for the whole time, Mike is not allowed to say no doubt, or you're not allowed to say what else? No, I can't say crazy. What are you not allowed to say?
No doubt, and there's the other one.
Yeah, not only that.
Not only that.
Yeah, but not, because Mike says this all the time, but not only that, when he's trying to agree with you, he'll say, but not only that, I'm just like, well, you just told me my point didn't matter. What am I going to do with you, Mike Black? So tonight is Open Mic Monday, and Greg says, how do you send Cash Apps?
Does it go through the flip phone, homie?
I'm sorry, Greg. No flip phone capability.
They don't have the Cash App on the Jitterbug phone.
They do. I'm so sorry. Sorry, the bag phone does not carry cash.
We love you, bro. Woo. That's
that,
hilarious.
That phone is reliable, but, bro, it probably will not work in the Cash App arena, bro. Yeah, there's a few things that you got to do, almost like electronic deposit, and Cash App is an electronic deposit into your account. So that's how that works. And it's like PayPal as well as Facebook Pay and other Venmos, other methods, because That's one. Mike, that's one. You keep tally, okay?
I just ain't going to say much tonight, so I'll be good.
I have to Cash App Greg 300 and Dr. Dell at $350. What'd you say? Did you say no doubt?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. I just said one, but you didn't establish how much money for each infraction.
Well, we should say quarters, because you know these are lean economic times.
We've got a whole hour, so that would add up quick.
Greg says, so where do I go to get my money? It goes directly into your account, brother. When you have the app on Cash App, someone will send you money, and then you have the app, and flip phones don't usually have apps, do they?
But you're asking me. I still have a flip phone. I don't currently use it, but right. Yes.
So what happens is you download the app just like any other app, Facebook, whatever, and then when people can electronically, because it's linked to your bank account, they can electronically send you cash. And then when that cash comes into your account, you get a notification. You push the button that says cash out, and it goes instantly into your account. Seamless.
I've had some friends send me stuff on Venmo and family, so it works pretty good.
Yeah, the issue is that you don't want to get, because of the society that we're living in, you're almost looked at as odd when you go somewhere and you break out some folding money, right?
You do, unless you're like over 60 and they just expect you, I dropped my AARP card. I'm so sorry.
Greg says it sounds like the mark of the beast. But Greg, you know what, Greg? We're just trying to help you, bro. That's what they said. That's what they said about Facebook back in the days. It probably still is. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Impacting Life 24/7. We are already 11 minutes into our early broadcast, and our commercial comes at 6:15. We haven't talked about anything. So there's that. There goes all our new sponsors. They're like, what are these people? What are these two clowns doing? And that's really what Open Mic Monday is about. We don't get to do it every Monday, but our schedule has been so jam-packed that I and our team strategically said we wanted to lighten the load a little bit. We wanted to still be able to stay connected to our audience. And we want you guys to know that this is who is behind all of it. And so on Open Mic Monday nights, we just pick topics that are important to us. Or if people want to weigh in, like what is Cash App, we could talk about that on Open Mic Monday too as well. So we should get Greg for, because Greg's pushing 60. We should get Greg a vintage bag phone for his 60th birthday.
We should, with the big numbers on it. We love you, man.
Oh, Greg's my homie, man. My road dog for life. So what we're going to talk about is several different topics tonight. The first one that we were going to talk about was parenting. And parenting, Mike and I have discussed and elaborated on parenting from a fatherhood perspective, but we didn't really go into some of the nuances associated with parenting. So I'll hold the break off till we get through this first one. But parenting has its blessings, it has its challenges, and I think the thing for me is knowing that every stage in parenting is truly a stage. Every stage and phase in parenting is truly a phase. And I have even gotten challenged by my kids who, when they got older, said, Dad, could you please quit calling me by my nickname? And, you know, here I am holding on to Barney and you know, I mean, I'm still stuck in their, you know, their innocent toddler stages, and, you know, they're driving and got jobs, and they're like, okay, Dad, can you please treat me like an adult? And recognizing that in parenting, the phases are unique. What have been your experiences in the phases of parenting, Mike?
I would say the same thing, Chris. As they age, you know, when they're younger and they have, you know, they're so cute and in the pictures, and then they go to school and right end up the teenage years. I can remember one fond memory where Olivia told me that she did not want to hear about the military because I was kind of harping on her about it. And she kind of told me what I needed to hear. And I said, okay, I won't mention it. And then 2 years later, she decided to join up. And so those are some of the things that, and I did resist the temptation to say, I told you so.
I told you so, right?
Clever, right? I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take the high road. And I told her I was proud of her and that she made a great decision. And so it was interesting how all that played out. She told me I was harping on her and just that's all I talked about. You know, I just wanted her to have that as an option. So it's kind of funny how that came to fruition.
As a parent, when we think about, you know, especially because, you know, I just graduated Chris. He's just a yes. few short months away getting ready to go off to the Army himself. When we think about that, Where is that line? Because that is a struggle. It was a struggle for me, like how not to be overbearing. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I guess you go through this metamorphosis of you go from being a parent of, hey, listen, sit down at the dinner table, eat, blah, blah, blah. You metamorphosize Correct. Into an advisor of sorts. But that can even be tricky too, don't you think?
Exactly. I think that it is a phase to where you have to learn to talk to your children and not at them. I think when they're younger, I remember a lady you had on there about parenting, and I forget the lady's name, but she really was hitting a lot of good points that you're raising adults. So when you talk to them, you have to realize, you know, that they're 14 in their mind, you know, you don't talk to them like they're 7 or 8. So you always see them as your baby, and it's hard for them to get that. But you're right. You have to almost train yourself to go into that mental role. And it's like there's no book for parenting from the beginning, but then there's no book for how to go through those phases and, you know, talk to your kids and talk to them, not at them. Because children always feel you talk at them, not That's, to them. Right?
Man, that is so true, man. Because when you think about it, you know, it's like I sometimes would feel like they were moving and I was stuck. I would just be transparent with you. I would sometimes feel like they were going on, they were growing up, and I wasn't growing with them. And that's where some of my parenting mistakes came to, you know, became glaring, is that I needed to recognize that this is an evolution of a human being. And she's right. The pumped up parenting lady is right. Is that,
That's
man,
right. pumped,
you,
up parenting.
Pumped up parenting. You've got to recognize that. And then when, you know, I think when the light bulb went off, it helped, but I can't necessarily say that it was easy.
I think it's difficult for everybody involved. And I think everybody deals with it differently in their own way. I don't think there's no wrong way to deal with it. Some parents, you know, are emotional, I think, and I'm not picking on moms. Moms tend to be more emotional and feeling, and dads, and some dads are too. I know I'm very feeling and emotional, but I'm also, you know, relational and that type of thing. So you have to just roll with, you know, who you are, like how your parenting style is and how you traditionally do things.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, I've said this a couple times now, but over the time, because you only had one, right?
Correct.
And I, you know, you got one shot at that. I had 7 opportunities to try to get it right by number 7.
I'm just testing a new 6. Oh, boy.
Sorry for the first 3.5 of y'all. I really blew it.
Oh, man.
You know, they had to walk to school uphill in the snow both ways. And then kid number 7's got his own car, Lamborghinis. You know what I mean? Just totally. They're like, wait a minute. Who is this? And you know, when we're talking about what you did as a parent and how you parented, did you ever, when looking back at it, did you see your parenting style change? I mean, in other words, like my parenting style was different when I was in the Marine Corps with Cameron and Destiny and Christopher, as opposed to my parenting style with Mariah, Christina Lee, Christopher, and Jeremiah. those four are really close in age and they were young together forever. Whereas the older ones were the foundational piece of my parenting, but I was in a different phase of my life too. If I could go back and redo it, I would probably parent the first three more similar to what I parented the last four. How about you?
Way I think of it is I tried to parent the lessons I learned from my childhood, that I never understood a lot of things and I always needed more explaining. And so I took the route of explaining things more, almost over explaining at times to Olivia. But I was very much explaining, like, here's why you should do this because blah, blah, blah. So I always explained and tried to be like a guider, teacher, versus I told you to get in there and do it. You know, right, well, why did you not listen to what I was saying? And I think one thing point I want to make is that what I've noticed, recognized about parenting is it's, I don't want to say it's a group effort because I don't like that term, but it is. You compliment your wife. And in my situation, it was, you know, Camille, stepmom, Olivia's mom, and her uncle. And so she had so many different experiences in that parental role. So it's not just me. It takes the family unit. So that's really made me recognize that, yeah, my style. So whatever my style did or did not do, there was something to make up for it.
Yeah, you were blessed. You were blessed in that regard to get some additional help, you know. And
yes.
And
yes.
Charity and I was talking to our kids yesterday that we've lived here in North Carolina for 28 years and none of our family lives here.
Right.
Obviously, we've had some influences from church, but man, you know, we were really, as they say, building the plane while we were flying it. You know what I mean? In terms of parenting, two 19-year-old kids, you know?
I understand that.
So Greg says, I tried the explaining method. Worked okay. Worked on, he said it worked okay. And that's where, see, a part of my life, Mike, I was with parents in a background that said, just do what I say and that's it.
Correct.
And that was that generation. You didn't question, you know, you didn't get in grown folks' business. You were seen and not heard, right?
Correct. And right. There is so many downfalls to that in so many ways, but there's so many good points in so many ways to that mentality. Camille was raised that way, not to be seen, not to be heard. You know, you do as I say. And it makes for a disciplined person, but I also think it makes sometimes for a person that is not, I don't want to say not as confident, but they're not as,
yeah,
I don't want to say adventurous, but you know, yeah, you're so disciplined and structured that the opposite spectrum is kids that are over creative. So you think, how does a parent nurture that type of, so the power that a parent has is just so much. You have so much. I don't think parents know how much power they have to instill in their children, positive, negative, creative, you know, whatever, right, you want to insert.
Right. You're so right. And I think that you just hit the nail on the head in terms of the power that parents have. And we need to take that role very, very, very seriously. So before we dive further into our next topics on Open Mic Monday, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. Let's see if it works. Because you know, probably messed
up. We have got to tell you about our amazing sponsors on Impacting Life 24/7 because they help us reach the world every single day. Michelle Perry is the host of the Successful Diligence podcast and best-selling author of The Pebble in My Shoe. You can connect with Michelle and get a copy of her book at SuccessfulDiligence.com. We're thankful that she is a gold sponsor. Paula Cousone is a gold sponsor, and she has dedicated her life to volunteering in community youth programs such as the Young Marines. Paula believes that the greatest asset each young person has is at least one caring adult in their life. Gregory Smith, he is a platinum sponsor. He is the author of 100 Simple Ways How to Manage a Property and Evidence Room. Get your copy of his book today by reaching out to Gregory Smith on Facebook or email him at smithg1963@yahoo.com. Adrienne Barker, she is a platinum sponsor and she is the host of the Adrienne Barker Speaks podcast. She is a life coach and CEO of Professional Global Etiquette. Please connect with Adrienne at professionalglobaletiquette.com. Mr. Mike Black is a platinum sponsor from New Bern, North Carolina. Mike helps men throughout Eastern Carolina find and lead a faith-filled life. He is also the co-host of Impacting Life 24/7. He is a compassionate leader in his church and a devoted father and husband. Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr. is a platinum sponsor, and he is the executive director of the PRF Institute. He is the author of What's Next? Preparing for Eternity, and Don't Leave Me Like This, Inspiration to Leave a Legacy. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, the PRF Institute is blessed to be that premier stewardship-based teaching ministry that truly responds to the needs of families and communities around the country. Find Dr. Dunlap and his amazing team at prfinstitute.org. Poet Katrina McCain, she is the author of Because She Decided to Love. This is a collection of poetry and prose about how love has impact on every relationship. Poet Katrina McCain is a platinum sponsor, and this book that she has detailed for us is a raw and uncut poetry ensemble that addresses themes of how we express love through loss, hurt, pain, and grief. Connect with her at poetkatrinamccain.com. If you'd like to become a sponsor of Impacting Life 24/7, it's very simple. Just go to clkingspeaker.com. Woo! What'd you say, Black?
Outstanding.
Go to clkingspeaker.com.
Love it.
Yes, and we're thankful for all of our sponsors who are helping us on Impacting Life 24/7. And we just really cannot express enough when people will say, hey, listen, we see what you're doing. We know it's at the grassroots level, even though we may be at the grassroots, but we treat it like we, you know what I mean? We don't treat it like it's just grass. And so we're very, very thankful that all of our sponsors, this is the first commercial, the second commercial will deal with our other sponsors. We're very thankful that you guys have been a part of this journey that we're going on. It's continuing to expand. It's continuing to impact. And so that's another quarter. So I'm up to 50 cent.
That's two.
I'll cash app you 50 cent. The fee is like 47 cents. So you'll get 3 pennies. But we're thankful. And if you'd like to become a sponsor of Impact Life 24/7, it's very simple. Just go to clkingspeaker.com. Our next topic that we were going to talk about on Open Mic Monday, what was it, Mike?
Dating.
Oh. Now, neither one of us are in this arena. Neither one of us are available or eligible bachelors, right?
Far removed from that.
Long far removed. You've been married how long?
17 years, brother.
17 years. 17 long years, man. That's fateful years. You know, you have gone past the point of no return. You're at V1. It's time to, you're sky high, baby. What I conclude is that at 26 years of marriage for me, I have seen one thing, that whatever you did to get your spouse, you need to do to keep your spouse.
Amen to that.
And we have, Greg's got over 37 years of marriage. See, that this was back before there was, flip phones, brother. Congratulations. and the reality of longevity, speaking about marriage, I know our topic is about dating, but marriage is work. Marriage is not going to be 75 cents. I said again. We're not allowed to say guys. And he's not right. Allowed to say true dad or something, whatever it was.
Correct.
Correct.
I don't even want to say it. I get tricked into saying it.
It is work. My wife gave a list of elements to our kids yesterday about what a family is. And she listed like 20 things. It was so beautiful. She came up with the list herself. A family is beautiful. A family these are words, memories. A family is struggles. And marriage is like that. But what I wanted to talk about with you is for our next generation. I want to parenthetically insert ourselves into this next generation. And I want to give my point of view for some ladies and some men. For young ladies, you don't have to feel like that there is a time clock racing against you when you enter into high school. And I'm talking about dating. Listen to me. Sometimes our kids go into middle school and into high school, and they get into these locked down relationships where there's this commitment. You know what I mean? That can work. I'm not saying it can't work. But what I am saying is that I see young people struggle and stress over like they're in a pseudo marriage in high school. It's cool to have a girlfriend. I encourage you to go down that road, but don't make it so extreme that you guys feel this ridiculous radical pressure that if something changes and you guys don't want to date anymore, that now you've lost a friend. What are your thoughts, Mike?
Just to piggyback off what you said, I think that there is a pressure for kids to grow up so quickly. Everybody has a smartphone when they're 7 or 8 years old.
right out the womb, almost.
So they're checking someone's breakup or dating status. It's so different from how we came up. But you're right, to the future generation, you know, you don't have to date to be important, to be valued, to be some kind of status. You need to have fun, be young, be in the moment, and not be in such a hurry to date. Because what I can't figure out, and there are cases out there where someone meets their high school sweetheart and they're 19 years old. Okay, I get it. That's, you know, I want to say that's a one-off, but how many people do you know that actually married and stayed married to their high school sweetheart for like 50 years? It's probably a 1% of the population. I'm just throwing it out there.
Right. But, and I believe we're probably seeing less and less of that. That gap is getting wider and wider.
For sure. I just think that, you know, I just think that being with somebody is not, it's not that important at that particular phase in your life. You need to be young. You need to experiment and go out there and see things and do things. When you get married to somebody, it's supposed to be for life. It's sacred. And it's just unfortunate that, what is there, 50% of people get divorced nowadays, whatever the statistic is. It's crazy. So I don't like you anymore, so I'm gonna get a divorce. Or it's hard, I'm gonna get a divorce. Or you're sick or something happened, I'm gonna get a divorce. It's sad, and it breaks up the family, and it has such a reverberating effect.
Greg made a point. He said back in his days, it was check yes or no in the letters. Remember we had to write letters in school, man? That was
yes.
That was on the parchment tablets that Greg carried around in school. But you're right. In other words, listen, we're not saying that that can't be a part of the experience, but don't make it the centerpiece of the experience.
Correct.
And I've told my boys this. I've told my girls this, that I want you to like people. Please do. I told my girls, I want you to like boys, please do. But at those early formative stages, we were not signing a marriage contract, and you didn't have to, it wasn't going to be this calling every few hours and checking in and all that kind of stuff. Because like you say, those 4 years, because when I talked about high school last week, there's a lot that comes on a kid's plate when they go into high school. Agree?
Agree very much.
Yeah, I mean they're trying sports, they're getting a part of clubs. It's just it becomes a whole new pseudo world to them, and experience it all. You can have a friend who happens to be a girl, but it not be so serious that, you know, you guys are planning family vacations and all that kind of stuff. I just think that adds too much stress there's a group of folks on TikTok that are raising their kids. And they're raising their kids to be patient in the dating arena.
That's pretty good. I haven't seen that TikTok video. It's probably one of the better ones.
Right. But. And then let's just drill down a little bit further to our young men.
Okay.
If you are going to like a bunch of girls, if you're going to have a lot of girlfriends that just happen to be your friends and they're girls, don't be a player. Right. We don't want to raise and we don't want to engender our young men to be these gigolos, these see how many notches you can put in your belt men
That's not the message. When I go into schools, that's not the message I send to young men, that women are to be respected. Ladies are to be respected. And that's why I think when we're talking about dating, don't pretend like you dating this one and now you got this one that you're dating and now you got this one that you're dating. And it's all just a motive for a higher conquest of sorts. I think our young men need to be men of integrity. They need to be men of honor. They need to be men of character, and they need to treat women as such. What's your thoughts?
I think the same thing. See, I could not have said it better myself. I think that, you know, we have to model and we have to mentor men, and the importance of that could be in the home, at church, like you said, the groups. And I also think it has to be, the message has to be outside of the worldly, you know, social media, like right. You're saying, oh, it's cool to this, or, you know, half the time these kids don't realize you're over here bragging about whatever, and people are just making stuff up, and you're trying to compete with somebody down the street, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses. It leads to just problems, and people develop too quickly. They get serious too quickly. And the real impact is you could, you know, have a child young, and then now you got to work, and it's just your whole life. It's just, it can take a turn, and it's really serious, these choices that you make when you're young. And when your parents are trying to guide you and someone that loves you is trying to tell you what's straight, it's time to listen. Especially, man, you got to listen. Young man, you got to pay attention to those right. That will telling you things.
Right. And like I said, when I go into a high school and I may do some small groups with some young men, I tell them straight up, man, you know, this is not the time for you to, high school is not the time for you to see how many gigolos titles that you can have. And for our young ladies, the same thing. And we recognize that young ladies and young men are emotionally different, that God created us different. Thank God we're different. You're a man, yes. You're a woman. But let me just say that, young ladies, you don't have to feel like your biological clock is running out because you happen to be a sophomore and nobody's asked you into matrimony. You're special. You're valuable. You do not have to lower your standards for something that is, or someone that is just an accompaniment in your life. But more than accompaniment, they're a distraction. You don't have to lower yourself. You don't have to compromise what you are looking for in truly a man. Because most girls try to find, we say most, let's put quotations in there. They say, I don't know, psychologists may have said this. I don't know who said it. That
right.
Girls find guys that are similar to their dad. Well, I don't know if that I don't know if that's 100% true. But what I can say is that you don't have to rush. And I think that's kind of my theme for both genders. But young ladies, you're special, you're precious, you're to be pursued, and you don't have to rush. Because just because you turned 17 doesn't mean that nobody else wants you when you're 25.
I get that. I also think that, have you ever heard, and this is just crazy to me, have you ever heard that women dress up for other women? Have you ever heard that?
Mm-mm.
Never heard that. So I heard that women dress up.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So okay. Women dress up for other women. So I'd liken it to where if when they're young and you see three of your girlfriends that have got a serious boyfriend, he's in college or he's older, it's like the competition is on. Oh, I got to hurry up and date somebody because I have to keep up and I have to have a status. And you're right. You just drive that message home to say, you don't have to rush. It's okay to wait for something better, because you could just like settle. And why do you want to settle just because the girl down the street has a boyfriend? You don't know their relationship. You don't know if they're fighting all the time or what's going on. So do not rush and stop comparing yourself to others. That really robs you of your joy when you compare yourself to others and where they're at and what they're doing. So you just have to think about it. You have to really, you know, use your noggin and think. And I know people out there that they've had people in their life, young people especially, that have told you these things. But you don't want to listen. And we all do it when we're young. But you don't
right.
want to listen.
Right.
You yeah. want to do it my way. I know better. I'm so smart. I wish I could go back to my younger self and say, you're an idiot. You need to listen to your parents.
You need to go back. Just teleport me back, please. One time for just one day and say, listen, those people, your foster parents, mom, Ruth Plowden and Paul Plowden, listen to them because they're telling you right.
Exactly.
Because there's this Kool-Aid that we drink when we're young that makes adults seem inferior and idiots.
They don't know anything. Exactly. When you're 17, 18, you don't know anything. Like, okay.
Yeah, that is the truth, Mike. And I really do believe that with the times that we're living in, these are some different times. And Greg says it is a myth that girls always marry someone like their dad. I believe it's a myth too. But I do feel like us as men with daughters in our lives, we have to try to model for them what a good man is. And the best way to do that is through how you treat their mother.
It's good.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the best models. And I had somebody on the show recently, I talked to so many people, I can't remember, but they said they learned how to treat their spouse by watching their mom and dad. Their mom and dad gave them an example to follow, and they took that blueprint into marriage, and they were happily married. I wish I could remember who said that. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, of course, you got my friend Mike Black here, and we're trying to not use filler words in our conversation tonight. Mike, are you ahead? What's the score right now, bro?
I'm ahead to 3-0.
3-0? This is Open Mic Monday, and I'm losing on my own show. How's that happening? How does that work, Black? So what we're going to do, I said it again. I'm up to four quarters.
That's four.
Mike, you're putting pressure on me, brother. We're not allowed to say on this show. Every time you hear Impacting Life 24/7, it is brought to you in part by our amazing sponsors. Donald Skip Mondragon II, MD, is a platinum sponsor, and he is a 26-year Army veteran, National Veterans Wrestling Champion, a speaker, and author. He is the author of Wrestling Depression is Not for Wimps, Lessons Learned from an Amateur Wrestler's Fight to Triumph Over Depression. Contact him and book him today at WrestlingIsNotForWimps.com. The Underdog Ninja Foundation are platinum sponsors. This was founded in 2020 by Javi and Jessica Madrigal, a husband and wife team that have been battling and overcoming heart disease for 18 years. Their personal story and experiences have led them to follow the calling of empowering, educating, and supporting those fighting heart disease. They have a remarkable platform and a dynamic story. Contact this amazing team at underdogninja.org. Belinda Tyson Linder has spent decades investing in people from all different backgrounds. She is a platinum sponsor. She has led inner city programs for disadvantaged youth, as well as being a mentor to young adults, married couples, individuals facing adversity. Belinda and her husband have built multiple 6- and 7-figure businesses and have trained leaders on having tenacity and character. Ultimately, Belinda cares about people. Bettina Carey is a platinum sponsor. Bettina Carey is a 4'9½" Latina. She inspires and empowers women to create big results. They shatter their earning ceiling, kick self-imposed limitations to the curb, and live their legacies now. Whether she's coaching from a live or virtual stage or conferencing with a small cohort of bold women or men on the rise across from a conference table, her championship strategies and straight talk compel women and men to find their whole new gear and succeed beyond their wildest imaginations. Connect with Bettina today at weempoweryourlife.com. You've heard it here, folks. All of these people help us with Impacting Life 24/7. If you would like to join them, it's very simple. All you have to do is go to clkingspeaker.com. That's right. Go to clkingspeaker.com, baby. Thank you to all of our sponsors. I think, brother, if this falls through, I might just go into, you know, voicing over, or, you know what I mean? I should be a commercial guy, you know?
You could do it. You do really well at it.
You don't know how many takes it takes to get it right, though. It's about
especially for a guy to keep saying, Yes.
I'm not saying whatever it is that you want me to say. I'm not saying that word. I'm not allowed to say, Mike, okay, we can pause the competition. Mike is not allowed to say tonight, but not only that, because he says that all the time, and he's also not allowed to say.
What's the other one?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
He's not allowed to say another word. I'm not allowed to say.
No doubt.
No doubt, because Mike always says no doubt. I'm not allowed to say because is not a word. It's just passing. It's filling because my brain is slow. And so thank you to all of our sponsors. Again, Impacting Life 24/7 is made possible because of our connections with people. Mike, listen, brother. I pulled it up for you guys in our staff meeting the other day. Our show has been downloaded in 37 states.
37 states. Wow.
22 countries. Okay. And is on 27 different platforms around the world.
Wow.
That's impressive. We are so blessed. We've partnered with Podbean when we switched our platform. When you first started working with me, we were on Messy. Messy.fm. Remember that, bro?
Boy, if that's not describing what the beginning was.
We should have stayed with them.
I'm glad you didn't stay with them.
Oh, man, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a former actor at heart, so I like things done right. I just have a knack for production, and I'm telling you, I was so furious and frustrated with myself in our early stages that I deleted all that stuff so no one could ever find it. But if you went to messy.fm, it is there. It's archived there, some of our crazy shows. But what I really do feel, Mike, is that we're on a mission. We are on a slow, steady grind mission, bro. We're on a mission, and our voicing and our messaging is specific. We're very narrow. You're not going to find us jumping on every hot button topic on this show. We're not doing that. You're not going to find us alienating one group over the other. That's just not our style. There's plenty of platforms for that, but that's just, and I think that's what has made us successful to this point, is us staying in our swim lane.
I would agree with that.
And
keeps it fresh.
Keeps it fresh. And when you're talking about impacting life, some people say, well, how do you quantify what it is your show does? And that's a good question. Because when I look at the countries that our show is downloaded, and our show is most, the largest number of downloads comes actually from my home state. But then it spreads out throughout the rest of the states. So we are taking care of home first.
Okay.
But when I think about that little village somewhere, wherever they got to have internet service.
Sure.
In the Philippines.
Okay.
And this little lady has downloaded our show, Impacting Life 24/7. And she was thinking about giving up or calling it quits or ending her life. And she hears the episode that we did with Dr. Skip Mondragon about depression and understanding that wrestling depression is not for wimps. And you hear a 26-year veteran come on and tell you how he was crawled up under the table in the fetal position. And she realizes that someone like that, who is, high and lofty to the outside looker, he struggled too, and he overcame it. If we can impact that one lady's life in the village in the Philippines, then it truly is all worth it. I love for one day somebody to say, hey, King, your show just had a million downloads last night. That would be nice. I could give you a pay raise, my friend.
That'd be good.
You know what I mean? You could finally bump up to $8 an hour.
You download the Cash App on my new iPhone.
But if it doesn't happen that way, Mike, I am very, very content. I've spoken to 400,000 people. If I don't get to speak to another one, I'm very, very content in this purpose, that it truly is about one life, man. And if we say one thing that if a young girl watched us tonight, or a young man who was treating girls wrong, and he realizes that he needs to treat young ladies with character and be an upstanding man, and we've impacted that life, we don't get no credit for it. There ain't no metrics that shows King turned around, right? No.
Correct.
When Greg and I did our bullying campaign, it was a statewide bullying campaign recognized by the state superintendent, Dr. June K. Atkinson's. She supported our conference. But I said, man, that's great that we had conferences. We was on all kind of news stations. We was traveling all over the place. But I said, man, really, it's about preventing a kid from thinking that the only way out of bullying is by taking their life. That's truly the essence of impacting one life one day at a time. I said we were going to talk about faith. I interjected that, Mike. And so our faith, to me, I'm not going to say I'll let you
good
go.
Job.
I'll let you go first. What is faith to you?
So faith to me was something that I experienced, obviously, you know, salvation at a young age, 13 years old. But faith to me was the consistency in which my mother, bless her, she's still hanging in there down in Florida. She took me to church, and we joked about it. I think in the last, we were eyeing each other about how you had to be, you know, missing a limb or whatever to not go to church.
Right.
But, you know, and that was legit. I mean, if you stayed up late and you were tired, you just went to church tired. Or if you tried to be sick and you were playing basketball the night before, that's a no-go. So it's not about being forced to go, but it was about that my parents recognized that you need God. You need to take time out for God. And not, and if you can't give God an hour each week, you know, something's wrong. So, and of course you want to give God more time throughout the week. So faith to me has always just been that modeling and that personal relationship with Jesus. And it just guides your life. So that's what faith is to me.
Absolutely. Love you, Jimmy Tassion, man. I just seen his name pop up on the thing there. Appreciate you. Our kids are in baseball together, and you form really great bonds on the baseball field when you're sweating and it's 6,000 degrees outside. Greg says, I am operating on faith right now. Trust me. We have not because we ask not. That's true. And what I find is when I have leaned on all my natural understanding, all my humanistic understanding, Mike, sometimes it still doesn't work. It still doesn't work out, bro. And whether people agree or not, this is what I've always said about serving God. Whether people agree with your doctrine or not, because everybody think they know they're a Bible theologian.
Sure.
Whether they agree with your doctrine or not, your denomination, whatever, they can never argue with your experience. What has faith done for me? What has my faith and trust in God done for me? This is not a faith show, but sometimes people come on our show, on our podcast, and I can tell that they want to say something about God and they're tiptoeing around it, because other podcasts are like, you know, regulated by the whatever. And now on this show, number one, you can selfless plug all day long. Tell us everything that you're doing great. You don't have to come on here and tiptoe around what you're doing. And number two, if you have faith in God, you can share it for the entirety of the show. There will not be anyone pull a lever and make you, unless you, we'll talk about that. If you take over the show, there might be a lever that we pull. The truth is, Black, that I feel like my faith and your faith and our faith, I think it should be the centerpiece of our life versus just another fan blade on the fan of life. It's not just an appendage. It truly is the centerpiece. I was thinking about this home. We didn't purchase this home initially. We came here and we were just going to try to fill out. Being in Jacksonville in this home. So I was just trying to ride the gravy train, renting, no responsibilities. You know what I mean? You know how it is when you own a home. And they came and said, sorry, we want to sell the house. And this is the same year that my van blew up. So my van blows up and they're telling me I got to get out. So I hadn't tried to buy a house in over 10 years. I didn't know if I was Warren Buffett or, you know what I mean, somebody on Skid Row rolling up to the bank. I didn't know which one was going to pull up, what they was going to pull up on that screen.
Right here we have these line of trailer parks. Oh my God, I'm going backwards in life. I'm just kidding.
And we said, we're not going to stress about it.
Right.
We're not going to worry about it. We're going to put it in God's hands. God blessed us with a brand new vehicle that had 8 miles on it when we bought it. And yes, he made the purchase of our home one of the most seamless. It's harder to go to Walmart and find avocados than it was for me to purchase this home. It was that seamless. It was so easy. I said, man, let me hurry up and sign this paperwork for y'all. Realize this is that CL King was Christopher Lee King. And I'm getting out of time. Man, it was such a blessing. We thank God so much. At closing, you know how they do that good faith estimate? At closing, they came with $1,000 in cash to closing. And I was just like, wow, what? I didn't know anything at closing. I owed nothing. Hadn't bought a house in over 10 years. I was ready to be out on the street, walking around, thumbing without a car. But I said, God, I'm putting all my trust in you. Now, somebody might say, well, that's just your emotion or that's just. But I'm just telling you, that's where my faith lies, right?
Correct.
And so we may not get to leadership. I want to jump to the other one real quick. We'll cover leadership maybe for a whole show next time. But okay. me and you know each other from a certain place, don't we?
Way back.
Way, way back, ladies and gentlemen. Mike, those of you listening on Impact, that didn't really count as an but it probably sounded like one. Mike, you're listening to Impact Life 24/7 on our high and lofty virtual studios here. And for those of you listening on the podcast, my co-host, Mike Black, I kind of roped him into being a co-host because I've just known Mike for so long. But Mike and I didn't start out like this. Six-figure income earners, you know, living in palatial. He's got a lake by his house and, you know, I got the King Ranch and all this kind of stuff. We didn't start out like this. And I wanted to take this last segment to maybe encourage somebody. Okay, and we're gonna. It might start out funny. But how did we start out together, Mike?
The trailer park.
Do you remember the name of it?
Hills Mobile Home Park.
We was.
And I remember that guy, Mr. Hill.
We was the Hillbilly Hills Mobile Home Park on Highway 101, right?
Highway 101. It was wowzers, man.
Eastern Carolina. We was
Eastern Carolina.
What
put it in perspective. My rent back then, early 2000, was $325 a month.
$325 a month. Wow. A month. I was just $100 more than you. My rent was $425 a month, Mike. $425 a month.
$325. And when I moved out to the trailer three doors down, sounds like a country song.
Right.
he raised the mortgage up. He raised the rent up like $200. And then I was paying $500, I think.
Right.
For a nicer trailer in the same park.
And you were working a couple jobs, right?
I was working on base. I was fresh out of the military, but I was working on base as a contractor. And every year they had to renew the contract.
Right.
And so it was like cease spending. It was a very scary time. And then I was working a second job. And that's when Olivia was like 6 months old, a year old. And I was dating Camille. Was working two jobs, trying to figure it out. I
mean, hey, weren't
struggle,
you?
Weren't the struggle you, was real.
Weren't you driving some old man like Cadillac or Celebrity or something? Weren't you driving some old car?
The sad part is the Cadillac was later on when I became more successful in life. So I tend to do things in the most, whatever you say when we first started the show, that's me. I do things. I have an older Cadillac. But a newer house, I'm totally all over the place.
Right.
I will share the experience with me buying my first house, going from paying, you know, $425 to signing the paperwork. I definitely had to lean on Jesus because when they told me it was $1,000 a month, I was like, I'm out of here. I ain't paying $1,000 a month. And they're like, you're signing your life away. It's like, and I'm looking at it's Camille. Like, she's like, you better do it. I'm like, I wanted to bolt, man. I wanted to leave out of there so quick.
It's 450 pages of you putting your little initials at the bottom.
I was signing like $1,000 a month. How are we going to pay for this? And the truth for him, that's trusting in Jesus, man.
And you read, really. and look, I was telling him after, before the show, and you read the fine print when you get to that last page. If you, yes. if you make your mortgage payments on time for the next 370 months,
you will only pay $340 billion. It's like, oh my stars.
What did I just do? And you know, your wife's looking at you, you're trying to look like you're happy, and it's just like, I got this really big sinking feeling in my stomach. Yeah, because that was a huge leap for us when we left the trailer park and bought our first house. Our payments went from $425 a month to $1,100 a month. And I was just like, there's no way. We were driving one of them caravans that didn't have AC, so we would have to roll the windows down all summer. Oh man. And then even though we were living in a newer house, we were driving around some buckets, bro. You remember my big red van?
Is that the one that blew up, or there's a different one?
No, the big red van was the big 15 passengers van with the floor dry rotten or rusted out holes on the inside.
That.
Yeah.
I remember that van.
And my kids would, as they started getting older, because we had that, I rolled that van, brother. I rolled it till I turned it in. I rolled it though. Look, our kids started having us drop them off at school. Like away from where you drive, they're like, "Dad, I'll call a cab from here. I'm good, bro."
That was before Uber. Let me get my flip phone out and call a cab because I don't want to be seen. It's raining buckets. Right. I'll walk, Dad. I'm good. Sounds like some smart kids, man.
And I think the reason why we're sharing this story is because my message has always been, no matter the adversity, you still can make it. And when we were in the trailer park, it was funny. You know, me and Mike talk about this when we're two old fat guys at Planet Fitness walking on the treadmill saying, man, those were the good old days. $425, $325 a month. Man, if I could just pay that now, I'd be driving around in a Rolls Royce.
Exactly. Right? Nowadays, the car payments are more than that. People are paying $400, $500, $600 for car payments.
For a car payment, absolutely. My current car payment is that much. But I want to talk to you, and we're going to close this out, about progressional thinking. Do not think that where you are is where you're always going to be. It is a progress and a process. And as long as you are constantly putting in, some people say putting in the work.
Correct.
But putting in the discipline and the dream power to go to your next level. You know, when Charity and I got out of the Marine Corps, we actually lived in three trailers before we met you at that trailer, bro. So when I got to that trailer, that was an upgrade.
That was an upscale trailer.
We was high society there with a yard and, like, you know, an actual paved, like, deal instead of a dirt road. We was uptown. The second trailer that we had left from had possums living in it. Those times though, Mike, are good. It's like a crucible, brother. Like, you realize I'm being forged in this crucible, and I can't give up just because I'm living in a trailer. Look at the next phase. Okay, maybe you can't get out of the trailer park, but you can move a few doors down to a nicer trailer.
Amen to that.
Right. Progress, progress, progress. And me and this man 20 plus years ago didn't have the life that we have now. And I really do believe this. I speak this prophetically, that we don't have the life that we're yet to have, brother. And that's why sometimes I get frustrated. I get frustrated with this, but then I get reminded that it's a process. Sometimes I get frustrated. I'm just like, well, why isn't more people helping? Or why aren't we getting more events? Or why aren't we booking these bigger names? All that stuff. And I just realized, wait a minute, stop. You remember where you started from? So when I go out every night after the show, Mike, and I don't know if you do this, but every night after the show, I go out in front of my house. I leave the studio, I go out in front of my house, and I look up at this palatial front that we have, and I say, wow, God, thank you.
thank you for giving me this. I didn't deserve it, but I'm sure thankful. It took a lot of hard work, and it takes a lot of hard work to keep it. It's one thing to get there. What about keeping it, though, Mike?
Got to continue to put in work. It's almost harder to maintain what you have than it was to get it, because, like, it's just, you know, how everything is so expensive. Like, don't let your AC break down. It'll hurt your feelings. It'll be $1,500 just to get it fixed.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, it's out there. But one thing real quick, I just want to piggyback on what you said, is that I know I'm not as bombastic as CL here. I may be a little more vanilla or chill, but there's, I want to talk to the audience out there. There is somebody in your life that's trying to impact you. There is somebody, I'm convinced of that. God always works in miraculous ways, and he puts people in your life. Mm-hmm. Please just listen to those people that are trying to impact you. They have something valuable to offer you. You need to listen. And God has always blessed me, CEO, to have good people in my path at the time that I needed it. God, and he continues to show me that. He puts people in my path. They're there for a reason and a season, and they're there for to tell me and teach me something. And so you're right. You just got to keep going on. So if you're back there in the trailer park days, you're going to keep on getting it. Just keep on getting it. Keep focused.
I really do agree with that, Mike, 100%, because guess what, brother? No man is an island.
That's right.
And maybe I should retract my statement and say it by saying that Charity and I have been down here by ourselves for 28 years, but we had the Greg Smiths of the world. We had the Mike Blacks of the world. You know what I mean? We've had the Francis Murrays of the world.
Yes, sir.
And those people were and are essential. And they speak into my life at different times. I've had the Belinda Linders of the world. And you're right, Mike, that there's always somebody. You don't have to go through this thing alone. Somebody talked about this the other day. I can't remember who it was. My memory's just getting bad, bro. But they said, if you're in a jam, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Speak out. Don't be afraid.
That's right.
Because there's always someone around you that has gone through what you've gone through, or can identify with it and can help you. And so Impacting Life 24/7 is truly about that, ladies and gentlemen. This was Open Mic Monday with my man Mike. I should just call it Open Mike Monday. What'd you say, Black?
That's right. I like it.
And I call him.
Go ahead. That means I got to come on, right?
Yeah, that would mean kind of. Yeah, that would kind of mean like we need you on the show there, buddy. And I call him Black because his name is Mike Black, ladies and gentlemen. He's not actually. You know, we said when we go in the subway, he'll give him his card. Me and this dude do everything together, right? He'll give him his card. He just says Mike Black on his credit card. I'll say, but he's really not Black, but his name is Mike Black. And they'll be looking at, and they look at us like, listen, laughter is so good. Don't take yourself so seriously. If I can tell you anything, if this is Open Mic Monday closing tip, I'm going to let you give one too, Mike, because you get to give two. Don't take yourself so seriously, man. You got to laugh. Laugh at yourself, laugh at your mistakes, laugh at your mess ups, because laughter is like a med. It's good. It's good for your soul. And I've realized, man, that sometimes when things ain't going right, just laugh. And I trip my kids out sometimes when they make a faux pas and dad just laughs at them. They're like, is that the same dad? Yeah, man, life is too short to be so serious about everything. That's why I turn the news off from time to time, because everything is just so divided and so polarized, and so everything is just the henny penny, the sky is falling. No, it ain't. My sky looking good, baby. Smile, laugh. Mike, your last words, what you got?
The last words, I would just say, hey, when things get rough, take it 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time. That's all you can do. A lot of the elders used to tell me that. I'm finally just starting to understand what that means. Just don't take it so serious. Just keep striving, keep moving. Good things are coming.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes another episode of Impacting Life 24/7. I was trying to bring up real quick who we have on our schedule tomorrow. We have a guest on our show tomorrow. I owe Mike 4 quarters for saying,
So, and I successfully did.
Mike did not say his idiosyncrasy. So, see, he didn't realize this was a reverse training course. This was actually training for you, brother. Rodney C. Flowers.
Rodney C. Flowers will be joining us. Rodney has got an amazing story. He's an inspiring speaker. The brother is powerful, best-selling author, entrepreneur, thought leader, resilience trainer. We're going to get live tomorrow. It won't be open mic. It'll be with Rodney Flowers. So you don't want to miss that. Tune in tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. But next Monday, Motivational Monday, Open Mic Monday, whatever we call this, it will be Open M-I-K-E Monday. We appreciate you. Thank you, Mike, for joining me tonight, brother.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
God bless you, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks.